James chapter number 3, James in chapter number 3, and as you're turning there this morning, I want to encourage you to find the lesson handout in your bulletin to follow along as well. And then if we've got kids in the class, I know we've got some in here, my heart is if you've got a young one that maybe is a little ill and you can't take them to class and you can bring them with you so you can be here, come. We don't want you to miss being in His design. But if they're being a little noisy and such, maybe slip out to the hallway and try to catch a lesson from there, and we'll continue to work together on that. But we just want to be sensitive to those that are here and those that are around us. James in chapter number 3, together this morning. We're in a series right now entitled Marriage Myths, Exposing Common Misconceptions About Marriage from the Word of God. Now we're kind of in a mini-series within the Marriage Myth series on communication. And this wasn't intentional, but we started this lesson 3 weeks ago, and every main point has taken a week. So God just knew we needed a little bit of sharpening on our ability to communicate as husband and wife. And so we're going to continue that today, but we're going to finish it today, I promise you. And if I've got to hold you here till noon, no, I'm teasing. But I've studied and read it, and I think indeed we will finish it today. And I'm hoping and praying it'll be a blessing, because we need to strengthen the ability to communicate together as husband and wife. A man was having difficulty communicating with his wife, and they were a little older, and he just concluded that she was becoming hard of hearing. So he decided to give it a test, and without her knowing, he was going to prove that indeed she was not hearing like she once was. And so one evening he sat in a chair on the other side of the room away from her. He made sure that his back was to her back so she could not see what he was doing. And he, from the other side of the room, said very softly, "Can you hear me?" There was no response, and he didn't expect any. So he moved a little closer, and he asked again, "Can you hear me?" Still no reply. He was building his case. So he edged a little closer and he said again, "Can you hear me?" Still no answer. Finally, he got his chair right next to hers, still behind her so she could not see. And he said again, "Can you hear me now?" And to his surprise and chagrin, his wife responded kind of irritated, "Yes, for the fourth time, I can hear you." And his test kind of backfired a little bit on him when it came to whether or not they could communicate. You know what? Sometimes that's the way it is in marriage. We think, well, I'm sure glad my husband is here today, or I'm sure glad my wife is here today. They need to hear this. They need to know this. They need to learn this. They need to apply it. Then we finally can communicate. And sometimes we've so zeroed in on the adjustments that our spouse needs to make, and we know that's why we're not communicating as we should, that sometimes we overlook maybe the adjustments that we need to make to communicate as we should before the Lord and according to His Word. And so let's continue that journey together today. James chapter 3 is such a vivid reminder for us regarding the power of our speech, where the Bible says, beginning in verse 2, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect, and also able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." And we know there is power in the tongue. There is power in our speech. There is power in our communication of the words we say. And as we'll learn today, even the way we say them is very powerful as we communicate together. There's a lot of hindrances to communication. We've stated that sometimes our schedules, we just don't get time together. It's hard to communicate with somebody you never see. We've talked about sometimes even children can hinder the right kind of communication between husband and wife because we've given them an elevated priority over the marriage, and the marriage needs to stay intact as a high priority in the home. Sometimes our media, we spend time together, but our time spent together is watching TV or movie or something like that. We never connect, we never talk, and that's hindering our communication. Sometimes it's fear of conflict. We don't really want to talk because we know if we talk, we know what we're going to end up talking about. And we don't want to talk about that thing because we're kind of tired of talking about it. When really we need to talk about it, and we need to talk about it for the last time. We need to resolve it and put restoration in our relationship. Dr. David May said, couples must have a mutually agreed upon system of talking and listening to each other. Since all communication is learned, what is not helpful can be unlearned, and new skills substituted for those that hinder the relationship. The bottom line is, together as a class in His design, we can learn how to better communicate. If we learn principles from the Word of God, it will make us better Christians and inevitably better husbands and wives and better communicators so that we can resolve and solve things and work together and grow in our relationship in grace. We've studied some statements of facts about communication, and I'm just going to breeze through these that are by way of review. The first statement of fact we learned 2 weeks ago is that we can communicate with depth. And we've learned that deep communication is open and transparent. It is meaningful in content, and it includes listening. We really studied how we can be better listeners. Then the second statement of fact that we discovered last week was you can communicate with grace. Gracious communication is appreciative, showing appreciation to our spouse. It's honest. Gracious communication is harmless. It's edifying, and it is empathetic, knowing how one another feels. In the new material beginning this morning, the third statement of fact, you can communicate with effectiveness. You can communicate with effectiveness. And I'm sure that in a crowd this size, that there would be some couples here this morning that what might be resolved or just kind of at the end of their rope saying, you know what, Brother Rule, to be honest with you, I just don't think we can communicate. We've tried, we've been to the class, we've done counseling, we've read books, we've asked questions. I just don't believe that we can communicate. Can I encourage you this morning? We can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And sometimes we quote that verse and we think about people giving up their alcohol and people giving up their drugs and their pornography and some of their old ways. And now they're living for God and doing Love Works projects and inviting people to church and honoring the Lord and the tithe and going to church faithfully. And we think of those kinds of outward, tangible changes that happen when Christ begins to reside inwardly. But you know what? Something as intimate as the way you communicate with your spouse is an area that Jesus Christ wants to influence. It's an area that you being saved should be impacted by. And Jesus Christ wants you and I to change from the inside out, becoming more like Him. And that indeed would enable us to speak to our spouse the way we should. So we can communicate effectively. What does effective communication look like? How can we embrace it in our relationship? First of all, I want you to see that effective communication seeks to understand before being understood. Seeks to understand before being understood. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:7, and kind of directed towards us, fellas, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. God challenges you and I as husbands this morning that we are to dwell with our wife according to knowledge. We are to know her. I've never met a husband who felt like, I know everything about my wife there is to know. I get it right 100% of the time. I've never met that person. I have met men who feel like, Brother Rule, to be honest with you, I feel one day like I know her. The next day, I'm wondering where she went, you know. What happened? One time, I think I understand the whole progression of it all, and the next day, I'm just as surprised as the first day we got married, and I'm trying to keep up with it all. But effective communication is seeking first to understand, then to be understood. Sometimes as we communicate together as husband and wife, if we're not careful, instead of really communicating where we understand one another and maybe have some resolve, we're really in it to win it. Sometimes it's that way with us as husbands. We can win any argument, but the relationship is none the better. Our wives know that if a certain topic comes up, we'll put the lawyer hat on and we can win. But it's not resolving the issue. The argument's over. A winner has been declared, but the relationship is hurting. Because we've been understood, our side has been articulated, we've delivered our message. But we really don't understand what's being communicated to us. And the reason for that is because sometimes what's being communicated to us hurts. It's revealing we're not the husband we thought we were. It's revealing perhaps I'm not the wife I thought I was. And then that hurt, if we're not careful, turns into pride. For the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. And now because something has been brought to the forefront that shows me to be vulnerable, a weakness has been exposed, something now is out on the surface that maybe I could have done better or maybe a mistake that I made, now I'm going to attack that issue to try to compensate for it. And again, in the end, I may win an argument, but it's not going to be long before we're all back in this thing again. Because nothing's been resolved. Nothing's been fixed. We've not understood one another. And a strong marriage relationship has an arena where a husband and wife can speak the truth in love. Honey, I wish you wouldn't say that. Honey, I wish you wouldn't do that. Honey, when this happens, this is the way I feel, and I wish you would know that. And we're not defensive and full of pride and then try to show them their three things they don't do well, but rather we understand it. And we say, honey, I never intended for you to feel that way, but thank you for sharing it with me. And I'm going to do my best to make that area right and to correct it. Jim Benny said, the tendency is to devote our efforts to getting our mate to come to where we live, rather than going to where he or she is. In fact, many marriages deteriorate into a scratching, clawing effort to get the other mate to understand me. We are naturally more conscious of our own needs and sensitive to them than we are of those of our mate. Guys, over the next 6 days, let's strive, let's work at, let's invest energy into knowing our spouse the way we want them to know us. And ladies, can I encourage you this morning? Put some effort in getting to know your husband. Instead of stating your case, instead of painting the picture, instead of him knowing who you are, and I just told him he should do that, but you this week focus on knowing him. Trying to understand some things maybe he's been trying to communicate with you. Effective communication is possible for all of us, but it's seeking first to understand, then to be understood. But letter B, we see that effective communication considers the meaning beyond the words. The meaning beyond the words. The Bible says in Matthew 15:18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. God is challenging you and I, see beyond the words to the heart, because the words that are coming out of a heart. Guys, have you ever asked your wife, honey, is everything okay? And the answer was, yeah, I'm fine. And then the guy says, great. But well, she said she was fine. I asked her. It's what she said. I went and watched football. I don't know why she's upset. Now, we all know she's not fine. But no guy in of his nature wants to kind of go into that zone and find out why she's so fine. Because it may be something we did that made her fine. You know, I don't know. But we need to get beyond those things into the heart. Humanly speaking, who are we supposed to be most connected with heart to heart on the planet? Our spouse. But are we? Are we beyond the words and to the heart? The Bible talks about the virtuous woman and her husband's heart doth safely trust in her. He's convinced. She has his best interest at heart all the time. She's not manipulative. She's not campaigning. She's living for him. on a heart level. He is being sensitive to her on a heart level. We can sense when things are not right. I mean, when you've lived with the same person for years, you know, you can sense, you can just feel we're not quite where we should be. And effective communication is determined we're going to get to the heart of it. We're not going to just get to a place where we can shake hands and go on. We're not going to just get to a place where we can just, well, let's agree to disagree and put it under the rug and move beyond it or put it behind us or it's in the past or whatever else we might do. Effective communication is determined we're going to get to the heart of this. We need to be right heart to heart. Every word that is spoken is coming from the heart. But let us see, effective communication makes appropriate use of the tone of voice, the facial expression, and the body language. Now, this is very practical this morning, but sometimes it's good to be reminded of practical things. We need to be careful in our communication as husband and wife at the tone of voice. We often tell our children to use their inside voice, right? We're on the phone and we're trying to maybe set an appointment or conduct some business, and the kids are in their house and they're having fun, and hey, shh, daddy's on the phone. Hey, shh, mommy's trying to get something done, or I can't hear this, or whatever the case may be. But we need to be careful in our own relationship that our tone of voice is right. Now, none of us are going to get this perfect. None of us are going to do this exactly maybe as it should be done, because sometimes we might respond in the flesh when we should respond in the spirit. But it certainly should be the goal of our heart and our home. We're not going to yell at one another. There's no reason to yell at one another, to scream at one another, to shout at one another, to shout at somebody across the other side of the house and let them know what you think. That kind of communication should not be in the home of a Christian husband and wife. And we need to learn that, and we need to exemplify it. Why? Here's one of the reasons I think it's very important. If you have children, you're setting the example. Do you want your daughter to marry someone who berates her, who yells at her, who shouts at her, who curses at her, who calls her names? I can tell you right now, as a father of three, no. Well, then they better not hear me do it. How sad would it be for them to enter into marriage thinking, oh yeah, this is the way I'm going to be treated. It's the way daddy treated mommy. What a sad commentary and example. And if anything should motivate me to be like Christ in the home, should be the four pairs of little eyes that are watching me be husband to my bride. Because I am setting an example. And I need to be careful of my tone. Isn't it interesting that God tells us to listen for His what? Still, small voice. We need to be careful of the tone. We need not be... And by the way, many times when we're yelling and shouting, we're not saying things we're real proud of. I don't think we've ever finished a conversation like that looking back and saying, man, I'm glad I did that. Usually after a yelling, shouting match, we have to come back and say, I'm sorry. Why? Because we were in the flesh. We were saying stuff we shouldn't have been saying. So be careful of that. Be careful of the facial expression. Some of us are good at not yelling, but man, we can mow them down just by looking at them. I mean, we can send the death stare, you know. We can let them know it all. Or sometimes in our body language. Have you ever walked into a room upon a conversation two people were having, and you just knew it wasn't right? You didn't hear one word. You didn't know what it was about, but you could just sense, I'm going to a different room now, you know? I mean, something is wrong in here. I remember years ago, Suzanne and I were in a room, and we were having a discussion, Brother James. And Brother Rule was not in the spirit. Brother Rule was having a discussion he should not have been having in a tone he should not have been having with his bride. We had just hired a new assistant, and one of a young pastoral staff, and he walked in the room and he could sense what I was just telling you, you could sense sometimes. And he made a 180 and he got out of that room. And I remember feeling about that big. And I remember calling in the office on a Monday morning, and I said, John, I just want to apologize to you. I was out of line yesterday. I should have never spoken to Susanna that way. And I'm sorry you saw that. I wish you'd forgive me. Does that make me a great person? No. But I knew my testimony and my influence over that young man had been damaged because of the way I was communicating. And that's the way it is, whether it's our children, our neighbors, our coworkers, our communication. Effective communication is not yelling. It's not angry. It's not belligerent. It's full of love, and it's the way Christ would do it. Letter D, effective communication bears the heart ahead of the words. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Again, focusing on the heart of communication. Communication, Brother Rule, is about words. Yes, it is. And it's articulating a message and it's understanding whom you're connecting and communicating with. But it's the heart. I'm telling you, I love family ministry. But sometimes couples have gotten down how to talk, but they're not connected at the heart. They're going in two different directions. There's a void. There's a vulnerability there. And I'm encouraging every family in His design, be connected at the heart. What God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. We should leave father and mother, and we should cleave one to another. When God sees you and I, we are one flesh. Are we that way this morning? And if there's something in our relationship, I implore you this morning, talk about it. Honey, could we talk this week? I know we were challenged in class to talk about these things, and there's been something on my heart that I want to talk with you about. Could we talk about it? Brother, I'm going to feel weird, and she's going to think I'm going to do it because of class, and who cares about any of that? Because all that's pride. It's getting over what people think and why, and it's just getting to the heart of it. Honey, we've been dancing around this subject for 6 months. Let's talk about it. Let's get to the heart of it. Let's understand it. Let's be right. Let's pillow our head with nothing between us. No animosity, no frustration, no bitterness, everything right. And if it's not right, let's talk about it. What does the Bible say? Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. When's the last time you stayed up till midnight, 1 or 2 in the morning, until things were right? Now, I'm not advocating no sleep, but I'm advocating greater than rest is having things right with your spouse. Sometimes we get so callous, we're great at going to bed and getting rest when things are not right with our spouse. And God is saying more than you need physical rest, you need a heart connection with your husband or your wife. So be determined and diligent in getting it, communicating. And then lastly, effective communication thinks before speaking. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer, but the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Haven't we all said something only to think, why did I say that? Oh boy, that's going to cost me. That's going to cost me a long conversation. It's going to cost me a humble apology. It's going to cost me time to restore the trust I just took a dent into. That's going to cost me. You know what? Sometimes we need long, drawn-out conversations because we said one thing before we thought. We let one comment fly off the cuff. We said one thing in a moment of frustration and in the flesh. And then we've got to remedy and mend and fix and restore. And we got all this work because of this one thing. And you know what? Effective communication begins with just thinking. Lord, help me not to say something that I would regret. Help me not to say something that I say out of anger. Help me not to say something that I would say out of the flesh. Help me not to say something that I wouldn't say with you standing right next to me tangibly. Help me to think before I speak. We've all gotten in the proverbial doghouse before over something we said, when only to consider it afterwards, we thought, why in the world did we say that? I'm an idiot. I should never have said that word or statement or whatever. And I just want to encourage us this morning as we've taken kind of a three-week journey on the topic of communication. But I think God has done it in our class because I believe God wants this class to be made up of strong families. Families that can handle life. Families that can handle difficulties. Families that can handle bad days. families that can handle bad news, families that can handle trials, because we're all going to face them. It rains on the just and the unjust. And in order to have that strength, we have to talk. We have to communicate. We have to open up on a level that we're not accustomed to. Any other earthly relationship is a level we have to connect as husband and wife. And so we've got to communicate. And we've got to communicate with depth. Get down to the bottom. We've got to communicate with grace, as God would have us to speak. And we've got to communicate effectively. For every couple in this room, effective communication might just be slightly different than the couple next to you, and that's okay. Because it's your relationship. It's your marriage. But you have to be able to pillow your head and know we're effectively communicating. We're connected. At the heart, we're on the same page. And I just want to encourage you, as I pray in a moment, would you pray silently this morning? And I'm not going to give an invitation, but I want you to have one in your heart. Lord, is there an area of division in our relationship? Is there an area where we're lacking unity? Is there anything right now, God, that you would bring to my mind that we're not right where we should be as husband and wife? And would you give me the courage to obey this week to bring it up, to talk about it, to communicate, to make sure that indeed we are effectively communicating heart to heart, that the issues are resolved and that the relationship is strengthened, that we can do something great for the Lord. I believe in the weeks to come, with Love Works, with the special outreach, inviting people to church, with Open House Sunday, and then we're going to have a big His Design Sunday on October 19th. I believe we're going to see the greatest days of our class to date in the next few weeks. I really believe that. But in order to do that together, we've got to be strong. In order to be strong, we've got to connect. We've got to communicate. We've got to talk. So let's ask God right now, Lord, would you bring something to mind if there is anything that we need to address so that we can be on the page we should be? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for some time together in class. And Lord, I don't know why you've led us to spend 3 weeks on communication, but I'm confident it was your leading. And Lord, I know that I've needed it. It's helped Suzanne and I. And Lord, I pray right now in the stillness of this room with everybody just giving you a moment, would you help us to internally assess, how are we doing? Is there an area that maybe there is some division? Is there an area maybe we're not as unified as we should? Is there an area that needs to be talked about? And then, Lord, would you give us the courage and the obedience to communicate with every head bowed and every eye closed? And I'm not going to give an invitation, but I do want to pray for you. How many would say right now in the stillness of this room and no one looking about it, and I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, but how many would say, Brother Rule, to be honest with you, there is something we need to talk about. And God has pointed it out to me specifically through His Spirit. And I want you to pray for me because I'm committing in the next 6 days to bring it up. And I'm asking for God's grace that we could communicate like we've never communicated before so that our relationship could be strengthened in the eyes of the Lord. I'll not embarrass you and no one's looking about, but I would like to pray for you. Would you just slip up your hand for the rule, pray for me? There's an area in our relationship that we need to talk about. And I'm praying that God will help me to bring it up and that God will give us the grace to communicate. Thank you. Heavenly Father, thank you for these hands that were raised. Lord, thank you for the work that you've done in my heart in this little 3 weeks on communication. And Lord, I want to be a better Christian, a better husband, a better father. Lord, and I pray that you would help me to treat Suzanne as your gift to me. Help me to communicate knowing that you've entrusted me in this role as her husband. Help me to do it in depth, giving her access to me like no one has. Help me to do it with grace and to speak as I should speak. But then, Lord, help us to find something that works. May it be effective. May we develop disciplines and tools in our lives that keep us connected at the heart. I pray for every couple in this room, and especially those who raised their hand. Lord, this week, would you give them grace? Give them an opportunity to communicate. And when the issue is brought up, I pray that you'd help both of them to pull down the wall of pride and just to open up and talk. And may there be forgiveness, and may there be restoration, and may there be mending, and may there be strength. And may everyone who sees their relationship say, wow, there's something different about that couple. They're on the same page. Lord, would you strengthen the families of our class? Use us this week as we share your love in our community, and we'll praise and thank you for every opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.